So we're going to come to the message from God's Word now, and if the children are working on the worksheet, perhaps you'd forget the word search now and look at the bottom of the page, because there I've written during the sermon, perhaps you could fill in the gaps in these headings and maybe write some things that you learn. And all the words that I want you to fill in the gaps, they're all up here listed in the word search. So if you think, oh, I'm not sure how to spell that word, well, you can look at the top and you can see where the word is there. Well, tonight we're going to come back to the book of Ruth, and we are in chapter 4. And in particular, I want us to concentrate on the words that were spoken by the ladies who were friends of Naomi. In chapter 4 and verse 14, we read these words. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. For he shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age." Now, when we advertised our service for this weekend, for this evening, we said this is going to be a service of praise and thanksgiving. And that's what I want to call the message tonight. A service of praise and thanksgiving. We are here to thank God. We don't do that often enough. We don't take time to just simply sit down and say, "Lord, thank you for all that you have done." Nor do we sadly, take enough time to praise God and to give him the honour that is due to his name. But that's what we find these women doing in this story. Those of you who were here this morning will remember that I said that this is what is described as a romantic tragedy, or a tragic story with a romantic end, because we had a man. Back in chapter 1, his name was Elimelech. He could see that the crops had failed. He could see that there was a famine in the land. And he tried to take his family away so that he could look after them. But in the end, he couldn't look after them. He couldn't look after his sons. He died. His sons died. And sadly, the one that he should have been looking after, his wife, was left on her own. And it seemed as though life was hopeless for her. But she heard the word of God. Somebody had come to Moab, the country that they'd gone to, and they had said to her, "The Lord has blessed your people back home, and the famine has gone." So we're told that she got up and she went back. One of her daughters-in-law stayed with her family. But another daughter-in-law called Ruth went with them, and it was Ruth who was the romantic part of this story. She found a man called Boaz, or a man called Boaz found her, and he said that he wanted to marry her. And when they got married, we heard about that in the reading tonight, it was not just a wedding in church, but it was an arranged marriage. Boaz knew that he had a responsibility towards this woman, and the marriage was arranged. She came together with her husband, and they had a little child, and that child was called Obed. And it was after the birth of that child that the women in the village of Bethlehem came together, and they say these wonderful words, "Blessed be the Lord." And here we have got our first heading tonight in our message. The focus of praise. The focus of praise. And I want us to look at this statement, "Blessed be the Lord." But also, later in the verse, it says that may his name be renowned. May the name of our God be given honor. Now, who is to be the focus of our praise? Who is the one that we should worship? Well, in this story, it's not Elimelech, the father who tried to look after his family. It's not Boaz, the man who took this widow and married her and produced children for her husband and in the name of her husband. No, it was not men. And we should never praise men because men are only limited. Psalm 115 starts with this wonderful statement. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give the glory. We are to praise, we are to glorify, we are to thank our God for all that he has done for us. Now, throughout history, men have tried to take God's glory to themselves. They have wanted people to think, I am the most important person on the earth, or I am the most important person in this family. I am the most important person in this church. But God says this in Isaiah 42. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I will not give to another. And we must remember that. God never gives his glory to another. There are two or three tragic stories in the book of Acts. One is about King Herod, where he rises up in Acts chapter 12 and he says, what a wonderful man I am. Look at all that I have done. But before he had finished his speech, God had struck him with a horrible disease and he died. In another situation, in Acts 14, Paul and his companions had worked a great miracle. And the people who had seen this miracle, they said, these men are gods, and they wanted to worship them. And Paul and his companions said, no, we are not the focus of worship. You're not to praise us, but you are to praise God. So, at this time of harvest, we are not here to praise a person. We are not here to praise farmers or scientists or gardeners or shopkeepers. No, we are here to praise the Lord. But we are to praise him. And we're not to be afraid of praising the Lord. We're not to be afraid of lifting our hearts and our voices, and even at times lifting our hands in praise to our God and saying, thank you, Lord. Now, sadly, false worship will always lead to slavery. It will lead to difficult lives. And yet we live in a world that has got much false worship. There are traditional false religions. But when we think of our little card this year, we've got here a very basic set of rugby posts. In fact, it's the Pale Harriers goal posts. But you go around this country in the next few weeks and you will find what I describe as temples of false worship, because you've got these vast stadiums, and in those stadiums people will be worshipping the players. But no, friends, we are not to worship men. We are not to worship anything other than the Lord. The Lord who made this world, the Lord who came into this world to save sinners. When anything takes the place of God, it becomes a means of trapping us and causing us to have the false priorities in life. But we're told this: so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the Lord Jesus Christ, if God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is the focus of your praise, then you will know freedom, a freedom of conscience, a freedom of worrying about, am I good enough? Because none of us is good enough, but the Lord Jesus Christ has died in our place. Again, in that same chapter in John 8, it says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, when these ladies saw this baby, they wanted to praise not men, but God. So this harvest time, the focus of our praise is to be the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. But we can learn something else from this, these verses that we're looking at today. And we praise God for who he is and for what he does. And the next heading that I've got today is that our God, the Lord, is the giver of freedom. So our next heading in our message tonight is that he is the giver of freedom. Notice what it says there in verse 14. It says, who has not left you without a redeemer? Now, a redeemer is a long word for the children, but it literally means one who sets you free. Maybe you've been in prison, maybe you've been in debt, but a redeemer comes and says, I will pay the price so that you can be released from prison, so that you can be released from slavery, so you can be released from your debt. And this is what happened. This little child had been born because Boaz had obeyed the word of God. He had married Ruth. A baby had been born. And there was this provision for caring for his mother and for his grandmother. But friends, we have got one greater than this who pays the price of redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ not only sets us free, but he restores us to a relationship with God. Now, many people don't understand the idea of us being in prison. They think that we are free. And none of us live in houses, do we, with bars on the windows or bars on the doors? We're free to come and go. But this isn't talking about a prison that we lock criminals in. But it talks about a prison where we want to do the right thing, but we don't do it. I wonder how many of the children know that feeling. I know what I'm going to do here, but I don't want to do it. Maybe if your parents say to you, now I want you to do this. No, I won't do it. And there is that unwillingness to do what is right. Now, we don't like to hear that described as sin, but it is sin. And we are all guilty of that. Not wanting to do what God wants us to do. In this story, this young child, Obed, was born. And it freed his mother and his grandmother from the embarrassment that they had of having no one to look after them. He provided a covering for the failure that left them without hope. But God has provided us, not with a Boaz, not with an Obed, he has provided us with someone far greater. He has provided us with the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing the hymn, don't we? There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. And Jesus came into this world to set us free and to make us the children of God. So, Jesus is the giver of freedom. But the next heading that I've got in our message tonight is describing this Redeemer, because he is the restorer of life. The restorer of life. Notice what it says again in the verses that we are looking at, in verses 14 and 15. And here we are in verse 15. He should be to you a restorer of life. Now, if you go back to chapter 1 and verse 12, this lady Naomi, who is the mother-in-law or the grandmother in this story, she actually says this: "Turn back, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old. I'm too old to have a husband." And for many of us, we think we are past it. We think, what can I do? Or maybe if you were children here tonight, you think, well, what can I do? You wouldn't say I'm too old, but you might think I am too young. But whether you're saying I'm too old or I'm too young, I want you to learn from this story that you're looking in the wrong direction. If you're looking at yourself and thinking, what can I do for God? What hope is for me? Stop looking at yourself and start looking to God. Because look what happened. And these people didn't know exactly what would happen. But in verse 17 it says this: "And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, 'A son has been born to Naomi.' They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David." And who was David? David was the greatest king in Old Testament Israel. He was the shepherd boy who faced Goliath and won a great battle. You know, it would be like, who shall I say? Maybe Caleb Hilda here trying to fight one of the Talbot boys. Is that likely to happen? Who would win? Would Caleb win, or would James or Gareth win? Well, we all know, don't we? Caleb would win. No, that isn't how it would be. And that's what it was like with David and Goliath. But God says, this young child will be the restorer of life. And David led God's people against Goliath. But not only against Goliath, but against the whole of Goliath's nation. And although we're told that Obed was the grandfather, if you like, of David, if you go to the New Testament, you will find that it goes on family after family after family after family until suddenly it says, the son of Joseph, whose name was Jesus. And we have this great picture that here we have the forefather of Jesus, the one who restores his people to life. Now let's think of this woman again, Naomi. She, with her husband, had turned their back on God. They'd walked away from God's blessing. They'd walked away from God's people. They'd walked away from God's land. And if we knew somebody like that, how would we feel about them and say, well, they've gone, it's their fault, let's forget it, let's get on with life. And if they were to turn up again, how would we feel? We'd say, come on, you failed us last time, but we're not going to trust you again. But that isn't what God did. He took this woman. He gave her her Redeemer. She was set free. But not only was she set free, she was given the opportunity to be the means of life to other people. Ruth, the mother of Obed, was in fact a Gentile. She was born into a race that God said he would bless, but would not be the primary place of blessing. And even though Naomi said, I'm too old, even though she had no hope of Ruth, her daughter-in-law, having children from her, God's purposes worked out. Now, I want to make it clear, Naomi never had another child herself, but she had the privilege of cuddling this child. And I'm sure she had the privilege of teaching this child. Remember the New Testament with Eunice and Lois taking their responsibility? And there's a term in the Old Testament that talks about a mother in Israel. Perhaps she's never had her own children, but she can come alongside other mothers. She can help them. She can encourage them. She can be there to give the support. Naomi, although she was a widow, although she was a grieving mother, although, without being rude, she was probably past her best 8 years in life, she had a purpose. God gives all of us purposes. And God has a plan for all of our lives. Jeremiah 29 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And children, older people, while we still have breath, God has got a purpose for us. When Paul was converted, the Lord said to him, you're going to be a witness for me to the Gentiles and to the kings of Israel. When Peter was a fisherman, Jesus said to him, I will make you fishers of men. And God used these people. It was a future plan. What is God going to do with you? Let me share with you a great encouragement that happened about 24 hours ago. We were here in the chapel, and this lady came in, and she was looking for Carol Campbell. And I thought, I've seen Carol. And I was looking at this lady, and I thought, I know you, but I just couldn't work out who she was. So I took her down to the end room, and I said, oh, there's Carol in there. And then a little bit later, she came up and spoke to me. And she spoke to me as though she knew me. And I was thinking, who on earth is this woman? And she said, oh, sorry I couldn't come to your house the other night. Dave came over, but I will come at a later stage. And I realized that she was a lady who lives across the road from us. Now, as far as I was concerned, we had never reached this woman. But God had a purpose. We are just a link in the chain. We are just a step along the path. And we pray that that lady will eventually come to faith. But friends, I want you tonight to see that you have got a place in God's purposes. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ who is able to restore life. It is only the Holy Spirit who is able to give new life. But we can be a channel that God can use. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the focus of praise. He is the giver of freedom. He is the restorer of life. And then the final heading for the children who are filling in the gaps, we have got the provider of power. Our God is the provider of power. And in verse 15, we have this statement. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. As I've said earlier, in this story, Naomi thought that she would be subject to a life of poverty. Her husband was dead, her sons were dead, there were no welfare benefits in those days. But God had a plan. God provided a son and a redeemer. It wasn't her immediate son, but it was somebody born within the family of God. And he was going to be the one who would set them free. Now, she'd already tested the good provision, or tasted the good provision that God had given. But she had no idea what God was going to do through her. I said to you earlier about David. What about you tonight, friends? Is God able to use you? Yes, he is. He is the one who is able to provide you with power. And going back to David, David won those political battles, but he also did important things on a spiritual level. It was David, and we were looking at this recently, who brought the Ark of God, which had been allowed to stay at the edges of the kingdom. He brought it back until it was central in the life of God's people. David wanted to build a temple, but God said to him, no, you are not to build the temple. But he made preparations for the building of that temple, so that when he died, he spoke to his son Solomon, and he said, I prepared all the stone, all the timber, and here are the plans for building the temple. He provided everything. Friends, God has provided everything for his people to do his work in our day and generation. I want to ask you, do you believe that? Do you trust God? Do you believe that if God says to you, I want you to do this service for me, that one, he will provide the money, two, he will provide the wisdom, three, he will be with you. Because that is what this promises. He will be the nourisher of your old age. Abraham was 100 when God gave him a son. Moses was 80 when God called him to lead his people out. Daniel was probably about 17 when he was taken into exile. But you read the later chapters of Daniel, and you haven't got a 17-year-old boy. You've got a man who is probably 83 or 84, but he is still walking with God, and he is still working for God. On this harvest weekend, let us thank God for his faithfulness in providing our natural food. But let's thank him more for the fact that he has given to us the bread of life. Let us thank him more that he has given to us the Holy Spirit. Naomi, Ruth, were the ones who provided power in that day and generation. And that promise went down every generation after every generation, until Ruth's greater son, David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was able to say, I am the resurrection of the life. Whoever believes in me shall not die. And whoever believes in me and dies shall not only die, but shall be raised again. This is the power that we have in our confidence in our God. Friends, tonight at this harvest service, let me remind you that we are to praise the Lord who said, He will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But these things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. Friends, I pray tonight that all of us might conclude our worship today with praise and thanks to the God who loved us and has given us a Redeemer in the Lord Jesus Christ and has given us power for life in the Holy Spirit. Let's thank God for another harvest, but let's thank God for one another. Let's thank God for the fellowship of God's people. And let's believe that he will provide even more, that we might be used to the glory and the praise of our God. Amen. So let's conclude our worship today by singing 481. Sing we the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Notice what it says in verse 4. Kingdom of Christ, for your coming we pray. Hasten, O Father, the dawn of this day, when this new song your creation shall sing. Satan is vanquished and Jesus is King. 481.